intro.
Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, March 2, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please help out with whatever is manageable. No donation is too small. Free speech simply cannot stay alive without being funded by we the people. Please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. Now, that being said, we are expecting a pretty rough electric bill due to the deep freeze and the spike in rates as a result. So this is definitely a big month to reach out for donations. Please help get us over this rough patch. And of course, there are many ways you can donate. As always, you can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in your donation, cash, check, money order, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. We have a chat room if you'd like to contribute with a respectful, constructive debate, or perhaps post some interesting links of your own at beyondton.chatango.com. And I have with me today a returning guest, Mr. Paul in California. I guess Mr. wouldn't work well. Paul in California. We've had him on in the past. He's a great analyst, researcher, traditionalist, and he's been an independent media activist on a number of platforms. I've appreciated a lot of his interactions on other shows, and I've had him on a couple times here in the past already. Hello, Paul.
Well, good morning, Richard. Thanks for the kind introduction. I blush a little at such terms as a researcher and so forth. In fact, as a disclaimer before I say a lot of the things I'm going to say, I'll tell everybody I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a scientist. I use scientist in air quotes, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So actually... for those who remember those commercials, but actually that's not true. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn, so basically I'm also a liar. Anyway, having said that, how are things looking for you out there where you live?
All the stores still are enforcing masks, and I just heard someone in line earlier today at the drugstore, someone in line behind me complaining to the person behind them, asking what he's doing. And then she's like, well, until then, let's stay 6 feet apart, okay? So,
yeah, I could fill an hour show or more with all my ridiculous mask stories. It's beyond absurdity what people believe, and they're afraid. And I would encourage all the listeners here One of my favorite, philosophies, if you will, that I've been trying to encourage people is forget about fear because it does you no good, and that's what they want. They want us to be afraid. Instead, if you want to use an emotion, use hate. Hate for our enemies, because I believe that's what we're going to need if we're going to prevail and not continue to be victims of their fraud and their lies and their malevolent schemes. I will relate quickly a couple of brief mass stories of interest recently. I have so many going back almost a year now. But I was just recently getting some lunch on a break at a nearby taco truck where I work. And, you know, one of these rolling Mexican taco trucks sometimes is some of the better and fresher eating you can get, now, especially out here in California. There's just so many. Well, anyway, I generally, am of the opinion that with this outdoor nature of these things, I'm not going to wear a mask. I will admit on occasion when there's a restaurant where I want to get something from, I'll put a mask on below my nose and just quickly go in and out. I don't like doing it. I never do it to grocery stores. When I go into grocery stores, I do not wear a mask, and I do whatever battle I need, which is most of the time I don't. 70% I'm not bothered. But anyway, returning to the taco truck. So I noticed that there is this young woman, probably in her mid-20s, I would say, with looked like to be a small family of hers. And she had two masks on. And this is outdoors, during the day, nice weather. And, she's going up to this taco truck. And so when the moment came, I just decided, hey, I noticed you have two masks on. Is that because of what Fauci said? And she says, no, I just want to be safe. I want to be extra cautious, because I'm pregnant. So, of course, if anything, a pregnant woman needs, as much or more oxygen than the rest of us. So I quickly just told her the thumbnail sketch about lower oxygen, higher CO2, increased levels of cortisol, and so on, something that I've been able to do quickly to a lot of people. And I might have made some headway. Her husband was standing nearby, and he didn't engage, but he kind of chuckled when I used my famous example of, hey, a virus has made you sick, then what are the viruses doing on all the days you're well? Do they just pick and choose the days you're going to be sick? This has become one of my favorite ways to, disparage the notion that viruses cause illness, because that's never been shown or proven experimentally. And there's many, many, quote, scientists online that will tell you that. So, this is just the world that we're living in. People are living in fear. They're doing what they're told. And in my opinion, that's the exact opposite of what we should be doing. There's a great guy, I forget his name, he's up in Canada, but his videos are now all over the place. I'm sure some of the listeners have seen him, where he refused to take the test and he refused to basically do anything when he came into the airport in Canada. He refused to quarantine and he just walked out. Okay. This is what you can do if you are willing to assert your rights. The situation they're trying to set up with everybody is the fact that they want you to believe that you really don't have rights, that it's just whatever the government allows you with their permission. And if they give you a command or an order or a mandate, that's something that you're obligated to follow. But, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Everything that they're doing is under fraud. The CDC issues guidelines. Okay, that's all they can do. The CDC has absolutely zero authority to tell anybody what to do. Same with your local health department. Okay, if the county health department where you live is issuing orders, they have zero authority and zero effect. It's as if they're null and void. And as a matter of fact, out here in California, that's what the court decision against Gavin Newsom decided, that his orders were null and without further effect, and he was permanently enjoined from issuing any more orders under the California Emergency Services Act. That was his purported authority. And it's clear, it's only a 9-page decision, and most of the time I carry it with me on a clipboard when I go places, and I just, I pose the very simple question. If Gavin Newsom doesn't have the authority to tell me what to do or to tell me to wear a mask, how do you? And for anybody out there who needs the courage or wants to have some simple dialogue, you know, if you want, if there's a way for you to get in touch with Richard and he can get in touch with me, I can provide some very simple dialogue and questions that you can engage in with any store manager, clerk, assistant manager, anybody you need to. And the very first and most simple question would be this. The minute they say to you anything about wearing a mask, you say, is that a lawful request? Is there a basis in law for this request? And just wait, see what happens. Now, I can guarantee you, one, there really isn't, and two, they won't be able to answer. So from there, it just depends on which direction it's going to go. Because the next thing they might say, well, this is a private business or this is our policy. Okay, great. So is a private business subject to the laws of the state of California or the state of wherever you're at? Or, for example, is your business subject to federal law? Because under federal law, as well as state law in my state, it's public accommodation. So once you have a sign above your business that says this business is open to the public, right, and these doors shall remain unlocked during hours of business operation, you'll see such things above some business doors. You see them out here where I'm at. Once you do that, then you are under the obligation not to discriminate against me. And there hasn't been any law passed by the California State Legislature, and I can't speak to other states, I haven't looked into it, but there's no law that's been passed by anybody out here that requires anything of me, and it's worth reminding people if they've forgotten that essentially law is mostly prohibitory. In other words, law says you can't do this and you can't do that. Law, in general, does not compel specific performance. That's for contracts. So essentially, civil laws mostly to do with contracts, you can be compelled to perform specifically by a contractual agreement. But under so-called criminal law, the criminal statutes, it's almost all prohibitory. You can't do this and you can't do that. And also, too, we all have a right, we all have a legal duty to refrain from interfering with anybody else's rights or for violating their rights or or damaging other people. We have a legal duty to abide by this. So in essence, what I'm trying to say is things are generally much simpler than we think. We just have to shake our heads and break the spell that we all seem to be under, that we need to obey these people when they have no lawful authority to issue these orders. And this has been ruled against the ones that I know of, Pennsylvania. That was actually a U.S. District Court decision, so that could apply anywhere, but it certainly applied to the government of Pennsylvania. Illinois, Wisconsin, Colorado. Colorado was also a U.S. District Court decision. And then here in California, the same. Each and every decision was essentially the same, where they said that the governor was outside of his authority in issuing these orders. So hopefully things like that will help people, because I believe that the more that we obey and do, you know, what we're told, the worse it's going to get. There's only one way to reverse this thing, and that's to stop obeying, and that starts at, shall we say, the local level, meaning, as the song goes, the man in the mirror. Anyway, I'll stop my little rant now if you wanted to engage or ask questions.
Well, that was a very impressive overview of a lot of those points on these tyrannical measures. When I see how much corporations are being allowed to just get away with this by and large, especially the big box stores, it makes me think of big tech, well, social media in particular, how, you know, they're given prerogative for their community standards to remove any content they like, even though they're not a publisher, you know, get to have the best of both worlds. But what these small business owners, of course, the biggest thing I've heard when I've been in shops is people complaining to me that, hey, they're not going to risk getting fined. I think maybe it was like $10,000 a year, or I could be mistaken. And so that's the first thing they come at me with. And so it's just on a personal level, hey, they're not going to risk that. You know, that's just their business, and so they don't, that's all they care about, you know, unfortunately.
This is sad. It's what we've come to, America. We were founded by people who cleared the land and had to fight the Indians, and You know, now we're afraid that we might be fined by a phony authority that has no statutory provision to levy these fines anyway. If there isn't a law specifically forbidding certain conduct, okay, to which criminal and monetary penalties are attached, then there's no basis. The fines are all bull. And if you've seen that video I have, and I forget the young man's name, and in fact, next time I appear, I can be a little bit more prepared here, because just so all you listeners know, I generally get 24 hours or less of notice from Richard. So, sorry, I couldn't resist that. but yeah, this young man from Canada essentially said to the camera, and this little short video is posted all over the place. You can find it, where he looks at the camera, and then he looks at the law enforcement officers, and he says, how many of these people have paid any of these fines? Have these fines been held up in court? None. Zero. And the reason is, of course, is there's nothing you're doing wrong. You're not breaking a law. You know, all I would encourage anybody to do is go online and watch any. There's any number of these sites that you can go to that talk about the law and common law and natural law versus so-called statute law. Statute law basically only applies essentially with, number one, proper due process, and number two, your consent. In other words, if there's no injured party, all right, basically to get down to the basic nuts and bolts of what this involves, okay, law is based, supposedly, the law in the court system is for one thing and one thing only, to preserve and protect individual rights. You can find this written, and you can find it in court decisions, to preserve and protect individual rights. That's what the law is for, and that's what our courts are for, okay? But, of course, they become twisted now, and these people, these tyrants, think that they can use the quote law to govern us and to tell us what to do, but that's not what it's based upon. So all you need to do in most cases is ask them, okay, what law is it that you're violating? Or if you say to a business owner, have they informed you of the law under which you'd be violating and you'd be subject to a fine? And did they say what the fine is? See, the problem that most people have is they lack the most basic understanding of how these things actually work. And yes, I do know we have a completely crooked and corrupt system. There's no doubt about it. I've seen it with my own eyes. However, that said, there are ways to deal with these people and to prevail, and I've done it. And often it just comes down to the most basic questions, such as, what is the law, or is what you're saying legal, or what you're doing lawful? And in many cases, if they don't know, that's all the evidence you need, because there's a I guess you could call it a principle in law, but if someone does not have what's known as personal knowledge of the law, right, then in essence, they're committing essentially a fraud. If they were to tell you, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you know, because of why? Because you say so? See, if they don't know the law, then say, okay, is this because of you? Is this your personal request? Oh, okay, well, it's not your personal request, so therefore there must be a law behind what you say. And just quickly, not to get too deep, because, you know, we could spend a lot of time, which is okay, and knowing, you know, the basics here, but an obligation under the law arises in one of two ways, one by contractual agreement, or two, operation of law. So obligation would also be a requirement. The minute somebody says, you must do something, or you got to do something, or you're required to do something, that's an obligation under the law, as in you're obliged to do something. So anybody can go to their own civil codes and look up obligation, and they're going to be essentially the same throughout all the states and federally as well. Obligations come about as, one, an operation of law, or two, by contract. So if there's no law that obligates you to do certain things, right, then it has to be by a contractual agreement, which means that both parties must know what they're agreeing to, and they both must agree to it. So that occurs, of course, in zero cases of these masks and these so-called mask mandates. And so you may have to do a little bit of battle, and you may have to be prepared, and you may not be comfortable in engaging with these people, and you may want to avoid a hassle. I understand that. So, you know, essentially then you're just going to decide that freedom is not worth fighting for. Freedom is not worth getting an argument for. Freedom is not worth having somebody dislike you. And I decided a long time ago that I didn't care about any of those things. And I told my neighbor the other day, because, you know, he kind of shrugged his shoulders and he says, well, you know, if the rest of the world is going along with it, then, you know, you have to too. And I just looked at him. I go, no.
We have the first break, but we'll be right back. Please hold on.
Okay.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
And we're back, folks. Beyond the Official Narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my guest today, Paul in California. And Paul, I see there being a graver danger of people in government trying to force vaccinations if we don't push back on these masks before the vaccinations are more widely and equally made available, where we get to such a point where that sort of pressure comes down. I mean, I understand. Well, you're in California. I'm in Chicago, but my city is pretty similar to much of how your state has been. I understand there's a petition to recall Gavin Newsom, Governor Gavin Newsom, and they have 1.5 times the signatures already that are required. So that should even hold up to scrutiny of some signatures being rejected. And they're trying to get even more.
I don't know. Well, do you think that is going to work out? And do you think across the whole nation regarding these mask mandates and eventually vaccines that petitions, mass petitioning is possibly a course of action that would get results in the system? Or do you think it's so corrupt, just like Trump's election fraud cases, just won't even get acknowledged or heard?
Right. So I've heard the same thing about the recall petition with Newsom. I can't speak about any personal knowledge of it. My opinion is, okay, fine, that's a good thing. But as far as I see it, the problem is obedience to authority or obedience to perceived authority and the lack of just the most basic understanding of your rights. And, of course, it's been done on purpose. You know, they don't teach it in schools. I think by the time you're maybe in at least, say, 8th or 9th or 10th grade, every child should know just the basics about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, where rights come from. And the rights don't come from government. All the Constitution did or does is allegedly secure our rights. Okay, so the rights come from God or from providence or from nature, the universe, however you want to phrase it. And the government are instituted, governments are instituted among men to preserve and protect these rights. And, you know, of course, is to go on with the language, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, so on and so on. Well, as we all know, the Jews have perverted this, okay? And they're using the power of government, which in many cases they hold the political office, which was a mistake, should have never been allowed, just like women holding political office. That should have never been allowed. They should have never been allowed to vote, in my opinion. I know this is going to be quite controversial, but there's a lot of good evidence for this, and there's a lot of women that believe this also. They're just not suited to judge men, and I just don't think it should be their business in any society to decide, you know, civil and political policy.
Well, some have also suggested it as a feminist means of contributing to breaking up the family. I mean, the household, you would think, would have a particular stance as far as what political party and figure to nominate, to vote for. And, you know, it's some of you suggested it. It really just, why not have just a combined vote of the man and wife is the way it was interpreted. But that's assuming every woman that was married. But I've heard that argument as far as earlier times.
Yeah, that was the original thinking, is of basically one vote per household. But given the current system, voting is a complete waste of time because we don't get to decide policy. We don't get to decide law, and that's the essence of self-government, okay? In other words, you know, this whole idea about, oh, you can vote them out. Yeah, but the laws that they passed were supposedly still subject to. So what does it matter what personality is up there? So see, the real self-government, and of course, this is the thing, everything they would possibly do to prevent this, is that the people decide what the law is. The government or the Congress, shall we say, the Senate or your state legislature, they can propose any law they want, but it doesn't become a law until the people voted into existence. All right, so how many people would vote for most of the laws that they pass? Not many, right? I mean, who would ever have voted for these seizure laws, right, where they could seize your cash and they could seize your guns and they could seize all these other things because they found some drugs on you? People are not going to vote for that crap.
And now it's so common for them to slip all these unrelated things into bills that, you know, quote unquote, have to pass. And we've been seeing it right now with the most recent COVID relief package. So much of the so-called pork, and mostly for far left and anti-white sort of agendas, you know, very much in line with elitist Jewish sort of agendas.
Correct. We don't need most of the laws that they even talk about. It's ridiculous. I mean, if anybody's ever been to a law library and see how many thick books there are, I mean, make the case to me of what new laws that we need. In my opinion, most of the books could be burned because law is very simple. And back in the old days, in the 1700s, 1800s, somebody could apprentice in the law after a couple years. They just needed Koch's commentaries on the law, maybe Black's Law Dictionary, and just have somebody show them the ropes.
Listen, we have the
medicine was very, very similar.
All right, we have the bottom of the hour break. Stick around, folks. Okay. We'll be right back. Thanks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
What I see with old eyes, and every time I turn around another dies. Think about this, his looks could kill. Here's a flag, we're gonna war sometimes, but I'm walking on my own. Wintering off a million places.
And we're back, folks. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my guest today, Paul, in California. And so, where do you want to take things next, Paul? I mean, I mentioned things like petitions. In the past, people like Gandhi had success with mass civil disobedience. But, you know, and we have to be careful how we talk about these things on air. Of course, we can't straight out advocate violence, but many suggest that anything peaceful is not going to get any results anymore, that those in power have consolidated the control system, their control mechanisms so much. You also indicate most people, though, seem hard to ever wake up, that they're just kind of hopeless. So I don't know. What do you suggest?
I can't disagree with any of what you just said. However, I will reemphasize what I consider to be the most important thing that we all can do, which is to is to not cooperate or defy. Defiance is very underrated. It does come at a personal emotional cost, but so far, physically, I remain undamaged. I told my neighbor the other day that I'd pretty much rather get in a fist fight than put a mask on when I don't have to. And he kind of nodded his head like he understood, you know, and it's come close a couple of times. That's mainly because of other civilians. I mean, other civilians, you know, they try to inflict their mental illness on you. You know, like I've told people to their face, I say, you know what, you can believe in this virus if you want. I don't. And I don't lose any of my rights because you believe in a virus or because you're afraid of a virus. I don't lose any of my rights because there's a medical emergency. And that's an absolute lawful and legal fact. And I have the right to breathe free and unrestricted. Wearing a mask is an impediment to my uptake of oxygen. It is actually a lien, legally, I mean, it can be regarded as a lien on my right to breathe. And, of course, I don't think the Founding Fathers saw the need to put breathing in there when they said life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Originally, they were going to say property, but they decided on happiness. Either way, it doesn't matter. Part of life is breathing. So, you know, put a mask on your face if you want, but go away, leave me alone. And like I said, I've already been able to demonstrate to so many people, they just don't want to believe it. There's no lawful authority, you know, and they can't compel you or make you do anything. And medical intervention is voluntary. I mean, even if these county health officers were your own personal physician, they couldn't mandate you to do anything, right? I mean, when you go to your doctor, you have that relationship with the doctor, and they're not going to force you to do anything. So the whole thing is based, like I said, it's all fraud. Everything is a fraud. You know this. A lot of the listeners know this. The virus is a fraud. The pandemic is a fraud. The epidemic is a fraud. The transmission from person to person is a fraud. It's all a fraud. And on the next show, what I'd love to do is just to spit out all the references and websites and such things so people could look into it themselves. But if you just use logic and common sense, right, you realize that all the days of your life, which you are well, the overwhelming vast majority, right? I've asked people to their faces, how many days a year are you sick? One or two, maybe three, four? A lot of times I go, yeah. Sometimes I go years without being sick. Yeah, me too. So where's the virus then? Where is it? You know, the bottom line is we've been lied to for well over 100 to 150 years. They do it on purpose. They want us to be afraid of something, a contagion, a pathogen, that they can, you know, keep us in fear, that we need them. Oh, you need this pill. You need this shot. You need this drug. You need this treatment. F you. I don't need anything. I feel good all the time. And I actually told some poor broad who had the misfortune, some young girl trying to, you know, get all in my face and get emotional about the mask. And I don't care about other people and blah, blah, blah. I told her, I said, look, if you're not strong enough to hack this pathetic virus, just go die. Get out of my way. I want to go live. The rest of us need to live. Building a society around the weakest and the most vulnerable and the most susceptible makes zero sense. But that's not really even what's occurring. Okay, the weakest and most vulnerable are that way in most cases because they're very, very elderly. And they're susceptible to any number of things. But believe me, it ain't a virus, right? I mean, what is the virus? The virus just sits around and goes, you know what? Now that you're old, I'm just going to attack you. It's nonsense. Go look into the infection theory disease. For anybody who's listening, go on BitChute and type in the pandemic theater, the history of the infection theory of disease. You get a video by Stefan Lanka.
And as far as the vaccines, a lot of people were trying to say, oh, this Johnson & Johnson is more traditional.
Poison.
But that's just
poison.
It's just that it's the DNA and not RNA, supposedly a little less unstable.
Well,
nonetheless,
listen,
it's gene therapy. It's altering your DNA. It's not even what is known as a vaccine.
The bottom line is,
and I don't think that the Sputnik one, even in Russia, could be a true vaccine in the traditional sense. Not that they are safe or work traditionally, but I mean, if we have no evidence it's ever been isolated, okay, then that means
right.
Russia doesn't have it isolated. So how could they have a traditional vaccine? It's nonsense. Local resistance and decentralization. Local resistance seems like what you're hinting at is the best way. I mean, if there were ever a violent mass scale uprising, you'd want your local sheriffs to join you in leading that and be on your side.
Right.
So in theory, perhaps some sort of fusion like that could work. But, I mean, individualism, left on its own, usually gets trampled by just this elitist collectivism. Anyway,
well, see, okay, but here's something that's important to remember. And again, you're not having anybody in front of you forcing you to do anything or telling you what to do. We're doing it to each other. As I've made the point over and over again to these people, there's no governor here. You know, when I'm saying I'm in a store somewhere, there's no mayor here. There's no health officer here. It's just me and you. You know, the police are never there, right? It's just us. We're doing it to each other. And that's what they love it. Just picture Shlomo, you know, rubbing his hands together in glee at what they brought about. So the idea of mass protest and all that, I just think it's nonsense. We don't need to do that. Now, it's nice. It kind of lets them know that there's some unity out there. But in the end, I just think it's a waste of time. I think you start with your mind. You got to be free in your mind. And just quickly, if anybody takes anything away from, I don't know if they can hear this. I'm going to start my car because I got to go to work here.
Sure.
Is the whole idea, so-called vaccine science, it's been a fraud from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a great website, among others, it's called vaccinefraud.com. Go look into it. The whole history of vaccination is very dark. Go listen to Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. She's done lectures on YouTube. She wrote a book called Dissolving Illusions. And one of the things that she said pretty early on was that most people don't know the whole history of vaccines. And the whole history of vaccines is very dark. I contend I make things simple for people to understand. It's Jew poison. It's always been Jew poison.
And for that matter...
Hang on one second. I'm going to, just for about 60 seconds, I'm going to put it on mute, okay?
Okay. And I'm just going to add there that, well, the whole history of, yes, vaccines has had a dark history, but some of these individuals who are in the spotlight, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci. Bill Gates, he's, of course, been into depopulation for a long time in his lectures, and we know how much his vaccines have had negative effects on populations. Most notably, I always hear about Africa and India. And then, of course, Fauci. Well, I believe it's Dr. Judy Mikovits, who's the one who talks about how twice in her career he tried to block research which could have saved lives and, you know, basically for the pharmaceutical industrial complex, medical industrial complex motives. You know, I mean, he was a gatekeeper of sorts. It just shows how his background is just as dark.
I'm back now. So there's a little interview online you can see. I've seen it at multiple sites where Terry Mullis, the originator, the inventor of the PCR test, who that was one of the reasons he was nominated or he received the Nobel Prize. He talks about Fauci, and this interview I believe was done back in the 90s sometime. And, you know, he talked about Fauci being essentially a fraud and a liar, and he's not an expert in anything. I mean, I don't know what his educational background is, but it doesn't really matter because you can see him online on YouTube talking about, oh, nobody should be walking around wearing a mask, but now he's telling you to wear two. Fauci is an evil Jew. The world is run by evil, psychopathic Jews. If you don't know that there's no point talking to you. I mean, I tell this to their faces. I don't have time to catch you up. I don't know what you've been doing all your life, but I've done a little bit of looking into stuff. Okay, if you've just been a consumer and watching TV, just take the vaccine and die and get out of my way. Because in my opinion, and I'm sorry, but I've taken a hard line on this stuff. The more people that die because they're wearing a mask or the more people that die because they're taking a vaccine, that's a better likelihood that we're all going to be free because these people are making it possible for the tyranny to exist. Klaus Schwab and Anthony Fauci and Ezekiel Emanuel and all these other weirdos, these Jewish weirdos, all of whom I could kick their ass. I mean, I look at that table in Davos, Switzerland, with that meeting of the Economic Forum, and I look around that table. And I personally feel, even at 65 years old, I still got enough to take on two or three at a time. There's not one man there who could whoop me. So I kind of bring things down to a very simple level that no man is going to force me to take a vaccine, and no man is going to make me put on a mask if I don't want to. And I've actually said that to a couple of people. I've challenged them. I've said, hey, if you can put the mask on my face, then I'll wear one.
And it's only because of the way they acted towards me, not because I was just doing it just to be a jerk. I will mostly react to what people, how they come, you know, treat me. Sorry, I got a little emotional there. But this thing has a way to get you upset. I think you'll agree, Richard.
Yes. No, and I think that was all appropriate, all things considered, for that matter. I had the phone lines closed, but I guess we could open the phone lines now if someone is interested in giving some feedback to anything we've discussed. So, yeah, folks, if you want to call in with the minutes we have left, 512-248-8252, on topic, preferably, and we could appreciate any kind of response to any of Paul's perspectives or those which I share. I mean, we pretty much seem to be in agreement on most of these points, Paul.
Well, that's nice to know, and I kind of would like to think that most of the stuff is fairly straightforward and common sense, which, and unfortunately, a lot of people seem to lack. You know, this has been my experience. It's one of the most frustrating things in my life is the inability to get through. Now, I will say that, like anything else, you have your percentages. So there's always been people I've been able to reach and influence, but plenty will resist me in favor of the ruling paradigm. And it's unfortunate the ruling paradigm is created and controlled by evil psychopathic Jews who want to injure us and hurt us. Vaccines have never conferred any immunity to anybody. It's never been proven. If you listen to RFK Jr., who's a great man, a good soul, and he's done so many lengthy interviews with people, and Robert Kennedy Jr. has basically said that if anybody read the inserts, there's no way that they would allow their children to be vaccinated. And the reason that they put stuff in the inserts is because they're telling you, they're letting you know, hey, this is what's in here. And by the way, did you know that in the Pfizer vaccine that there's a very small percentage, I think it varies from 1% to 3% of potassium chloride? And for anybody out there who's not a chemistry major, that's one of the chemicals they use in lethal injection to stop your heart. And very small amounts of potassium chloride can cause irregular heartbeat, and including up to interruption of the heartbeat. So, you know, can you imagine that, you know, this is the kind of thing that we're being subjected to? I think all these vaccines are essentially a witch's brew, an evil Jewish vampire witch's brew of whatever thing they can concoct that might not kill us right away, maybe some of us, but the second or third dose is going to wreck us for the rest of our lives and may indeed debilitate and kill a whole bunch of other of us. I don't see it any other way. When you look at what the autism rates are and what they were, there's no doubt about the correlation between the increased frequency of vaccines known as the vaccine schedule being directly, not just correlation, but causality with increases in all kinds of autism spectrum disorder and child allergies and, of course, death. And it's always been suspected that it's linked to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And in my mind, there is zero doubt about that.
Well, listen, we suddenly have those are great points as well. We suddenly have a couple of callers who jumped in. So I don't know, maybe we can skip the last break to fit in some good points from them. First, we have Dave in Nevada. Hello, Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good.
I think it's kind of too late because of where we are right now. And I really thought that if we did have a chance, the only thing that we should have been protesting was the mask. We had a chance at protesting the mask, like everyone, like black, white, red, brown, left, right, but no one did it. Everyone's sitting there fighting over whether you're black or white or Jewish or whatever. But we still might have a chance with protesting the mask, but there's no one in the freedom movement. They all want to go to Washington, D.C. and talk about Donald Trump, but no one wants to do a mask movement. I find that absurd. And it's especially absurd with people who keep talking about freedom. I also have what's that?
I said, I do. You said nobody wants to go do a mask, or it says, I do, Dave. So anytime, anywhere, I'm walking to any store, I don't care.
Well, I'm talking about the general swath of these people who are, all they do is talk about George Washington and all that BS.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to say is that you take a pretty hard line view. I have an even harder line view than you do. I don't think that people should have a choice at all. Yeah, I don't think people should have a choice at all. I don't think there should be any vaccines, period. We wouldn't be having this issue.
Oh, of course.
At all.
Right.
Well, you see, people who keep making this they make this asinine argument that, well, if you want to go ahead and take it, take it. But I agree with what you said. If those are the people, the ones that choose to take it, they're making it harder for those that don't. And I totally agree with that. But if they never have the choice.
That is a good point.
If they never have the choice to begin with, you know. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That is a good point. I've heard a lot of people talk about how just saying that there should be a choice with vaccines is suggesting that they can be, to some extent, safe or effective or do what they claim to do, not be too dangerous to use, and really that the science doesn't back up what they claim. Listen, I really appreciate your call, but we have a couple other folks on the line. Did you have a final thought?
Okay. Dave? No, go ahead. Just take the other call. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Dave.
And next we have Charles in Florida. Hello, Charles. Charles in Florida. Hello, you're on the line. You're on the air.
How you doing there, Richard?
I have Paul in California on with me. Yeah, what's on your mind, Charles?
Yeah. I'll try to be short. Dave, the tact I take with people down here in Florida is, or in my area here, the Bay Area, is to point out things like polyethylene glycol being in these mRNA, you know, which is the prime ingredient in antifreeze, dimerazole, mercury, you know, the fetuses, you know. And tell me, you know, would you like to have the prime ingredient in antifreeze injected in you, you know? And, you know, down here in Florida, I think it's kind of half and half. We're kind of laid back down here. I was in a shop for 4 hours, an automobile place, and people coming in. Some would be unmasked, some would be masked. They didn't seem to quarrel with each other, and, you know, grocery stores and people, you know, have all this stuff, but they have to, like people that work in grocery stores or work for the VA, they have to go along with the system to get along and take injections. I'm kind of sorry
no,
for them.
No. Wait a second. No. Everybody listening, just get this through your head. You cannot be forced to take a vaccine, period. In fact,
right,
this particular
right.
one, which is known as
emergency use
authorization. Okay, this emergency use authorization is completely voluntary. It cannot be mandated no matter where you work, even in a hospital. And as a matter
You're
of
right.
fact, a young man that I met recently, he learned the hard way. They lied to him, told him he had to take it to keep working there, and he took it. He got sick. Now, before they gave it to him, they had him sign a waiver, right? So this is the kind of evil, you know, devious stuff we're up against here. These people, they lie, they don't know the law, they commit fraud, and these people that are administering the shots, whether they know something or whether they don't, it doesn't matter. In my opinion, they're the enemy.
Well, listen,
be avoided at all costs.
We have a few more calls. Thank you so much, Charles.
Okay.
Please call again, sir. Gene in Kentucky. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I was in my car recently. I turned the local, the Louisville radio station on when I'm driving, AM radio, and I keep hearing that stupid Brashear governor pushing this junk, talking about giving you free rides to the thing, and you know, all in this together crap, and it's just ridiculous. And I talk to people, and I know I shouldn't get angry, and I even fight with my own husband about this. He wears a mask, and I won't. And went to a funeral the same way. I tell everybody to take it off, and I'm constantly talking to people. I tell them, you young people need to take back this country. I mean, why are you going along? Why are you believing all this junk? And I said, I'm sure there's something out there, but I said, it's probably in the food supply, what we eat. And I bet vegetarians aren't getting this. I think Tom from Utah, it's the most correct person out there. I really believe in my heart. But anyway, I went to the doctor. I have to go every 6 months to get my thyroid pills renewed, and I about fought with her. she insists I put a daggone mask on, and I have this stupid hepatitis test, you know, because they said we were the baby boomer generation was a free love. She's full of you know what. And so anyway, and they said that Humana required it, all this crap. But I should never let her took that daggone with your hepatitis stuff, because if it was, it was probably they probably injected the stuff, those cancer cells back in Mary Monkey, something I heard years ago. You know, they were messing with, you know,
yeah,
virus and all
that
stuff.
Great book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Gene. We have a couple more callers in just like
okay,
about 2 minutes
y'all.
Left.
Y'all take care and keep on.
Thank you so much.
Gene, you're my
Mitchell.
Kind of woman. Thank you. And get angry. It's okay. Go ahead.
Mitchell in Tennessee. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, I'm going to make it real quick. I love the fact that we've got a pushback mentality going on. That's great. I did want to touch on something. The founding documents, you looked at the Declaration of Independence, and the guest touched on it. It talks about the creator, you're created with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The question is, where is property? And if you go to... John Locke was one of the philosophers that influenced the Founding Fathers. I think a 33-year-old Thomas Jefferson was credited for that line in the Declaration of Independence. John Locke wrote Life, Liberty, and Property. And his definition of property says, John Locke wrote in his two treatises on the government that every man has a property in his own person. Basically,
right. Mitchell, could you please wrap it up, though, sir? We have one more call in just about a minute to go.
Okay, real quick. The question is, property includes your body. Do you have an unalienable right to property? In other words, do you have an unalienable right to own your body? It's really important
exactly
to know
why
property was left out. That's what I want to say.
No, exactly correct. Very good points, and that's an excellent topic on its own.
All right, thank you so much for your call, Mitchell. And we have Murr in Wisconsin. Hello, Murr. Hello, welcome
good morning,
to the show. I haven't heard
or
from
afternoon.
You in a while.
Hi, Richard,
hey, Mur.
Paul. Miss hearing
hey,
you
Mur,
on Stormfront.
Thank you,
yeah. Never wear a mask. Never, never, never. Never let them stab you with anything. Don't go to a doctor. Don't go to a lawyer. Don't go to the other priest that wants your spirit. You know, I haven't done any of that stuff in years and years. Shoot. People, you need to get out of Babylon and... find a way to live. You know, you got to have some faith, I guess, there, too. But, you know, I told a Amish man, he was running his, you know, his head of the family running the store, and he had a mask on. It was just he and I in there at the time, and he's just, like, nervous and stuff. I said, take the mask off. I don't care if you wear one. You know, take it off. That hurts you. You know, and he doesn't wear a mask anymore. But, you know, he was just so afraid from everything, because people come in and tell him all this stuff. I said, they're lying, it's Mudstream. And like you were saying, Paul, we know who it is, right? In their Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, number 10, part 20, is the most positive thing in the whole bunch. And it says, if we give the nations breathing space, the day we want will never come. Paraphrase there at the end. But that's what they're doing. They're just flaunting it all over the world.
You. Well, thank you, Murr. And please call more often. Yeah, and Paul will have to come on more often as well here. Certainly.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
And then thanks, Paul. Again, it's always a pleasure.
Nicely done, Murr. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, folks. Stick around for Dr. Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. Please support RBN, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.